Hey, this is Russ Dizdar from the organization Shatter the Darkness. We're on the web at shatterthedarkness.net. We have been offering courses that we have taught here locally. Over the last 23, 24 years, we've taught courses again and again. We've developed about 15, 16 of them. And every few years, we revise them. And lately, we've been taking those courses and uploading them and offering them on the web. And we have some dear students all across the United States, in Australia, also England. And we're excited about that. And this new course, The Basics of Spiritual Warfare, is really a foundational course. We do a lot of teaching on the issues of spiritual warfare. If you know anything about Shatter the Darkness, or if you've been to our site or listened to some of the interviews, we have a lot of material out there, hundreds of hours right now, it looks like, of interviews with great radio stations and groups all across the nation, and then also podcasts that we've been putting up dealing with end-time issues, biblical conspiracy, not just speculation, but the conspiracy of Psalm chapter 2 and the prediction from 3,000 years ago of the nations raging against Christ. And the backdrop to that is, again, a spiritual war. So this course, unlike the ones that we deal specifically in the areas of spiritual authority and armor of God and deliverance and dealing with demons and satanic attack, well, this one will deal with three fronts. The world, from the biblical word cosmos, and you can see this very clearly in the book of 1 John, as biblical revelation, the Spirit of God paints the picture of the world that we're living in as a fallen world system, infused with darkness, Socrata. This darkness that is in rebellion to God, the darkness that infuses philosophy and education and politics, and all those who embrace the Luciferian agenda, the satanic agenda, the rebellion against God. So when we read in 1 John that anybody who loves the world, the love of the Father's not in them. Well, the loving the world in that context. See, I love the creation. I look at the creation around me and I see beauty. I jog in deep woods and I love to see nature in the fall and trees. And I love it. I love to be in a forest. I love to see the night sky and the stars. And I see it all as creation pouring forth speech of a great designer, of God, and proclaiming God and his existence. But we also have in the context of that a fallen world system. When the human race fell into sin, it affected everything. And Satan entered in along with all of the demonic horde behind him. So the world system is fallen, and that's what it's talking about in the book of 1 John. To love the world, the fallen world system, where Satan has rule and control. We read in 1 John chapter 5 that the evil one is in control of the whole world. World cosmos, the fallen world system. Wherever the satanic agenda of rebellion against God and satanic lordship is promoted, or the attack on God and his hostility towards God is promoted. So the fallen world system is part of what we've got to deal with. The second area is the flesh. The flesh is that second front where really within us, before we have gotten saved, this sin nature was affecting us in every way. It's an abnormal presence. It was acquired at the moment of the fall of the human race, transmitted to every single human being. It involves the reasons why. Even as little children, we begin to lie and rebel and say no and do things that we shouldn't do. The sin nature is almost personified in Scripture. It's the nature within that's connected to the ruler of the power of the air directly, Ephesians chapter 2. So we're going to deal with the concept of the fallen nature within that has affected our very DNA, the very genetics of the human race. We're going to look at that in light of what Jesus did at the cross and the rendering powerless that sin nature, not only the forgiveness of sin that Jesus provided, but his work also includes victory from the law of the sin nature, the sin and death issue, so that we're really liberated from the ruling power of the sin nature within. So there's sins plural, but there's also the sin nature as a presence within. And Jesus' death on the cross and salvation brings to us the total wiping out of sin, but also total freedom from the power and lordship of sin. So much so that the Spirit of God would say in Romans chapter 6 that sin shall not be your master, shall not be your Lord, and that we're to have not only the forgiveness, but also the freedom, and literally the infusion of a new nature, the nature of Christ, the nature of God, divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us that His divine power has given to us everything we need for life, Christ-like life, and godliness, devotion to God. So a new nature dwells within. Romans chapter 8 reveals this new nature within. So it's very important for all believers to understand that battle, and how the old sin nature can still bring temptation, but does not have the right to rule. And how we have a new nature with power over the sin nature, so much so that, again, it's dynamic in the biblical word powerful. It's dynamic in the sense that we're told to put to death the misdeeds, the sins of the flesh or the body, and to get rid of them. And this is going to be the assumption that all of Scripture brings now to the believer because of the incredible victory that we have from sin, over sin, in the work of Jesus and the new nature that He's given to us. So we're going to spell that out also, so that believers don't live on a roller coaster of you know, trying to live for the Lord but falling into sin and falling into areas of sin, and why some believers backslide, and etc. So when we talk about the world and its dynamic pull and influence, we're going to see where Jesus gives us victory there. Again, even before you would consider ordering this course and taking this course, take a look at 1 John and read through it, where you're going to find the believer is in conflict with the fallen world system, the old sin nature, and the devil himself. And that in 1 John, we're going to see a depiction of victory over the world, victory over the sin nature, and clearly victory over the devil himself. So the emphasis of this course is to touch on all three of those fronts, including and probably just deeply emphasizing the victory that we have in Jesus. Now, whether you've been a believer 5 days, 5 years, 50 years, the bottom line is that this is biblically true. Listen, the basics of spiritual warfare, dealing with the world, the flesh, and the devil, is absolutely essential in biblical discipleship. If we are not discipled in the biblical sense of understanding these three fronts, number one, I know that we cannot grow rightly in the Lord. We're meant to grow in the Lord and exhibit and manifest our victory as we develop more and more in Christ. We are to grow more and more powerful. Acts chapter 9, verse 22. And we can do that. We can grow more and more powerful in the Lord. But I believe that comes also from our understanding of the biblical nature of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the biblical revelation of the transformation of salvation. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 on, the regeneration, the rebirth, and the renewal, the work of the Spirit of God, and what's been implanted. Listen, I believe that the sin nature has permeated the very genetics of man. That when our first parents sinned, and humanity sinned, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 12, that the sin nature was acquired and death came in. And it passed upon all because all have sinned. So this issue of our DNA, our genetics, being changed by a nature that was not ours in the beginning, that is abnormal, Even death is abnormal, was not meant to be. It is a result of sin. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. And so when we begin to understand where the conflict has come from, where the conflict is embedded, our own nature as a human being has been infected, and Jesus' death on the cross brings the possibility of total forgiveness and wiping out the barrier between us and God, being born again of the Spirit of God so that we may have living, personal, unbroken fellowship with God. But also then, my friend, we would understand the things that would pull at us, the world, the flesh, and the devil, as a believer, that we would fully understand that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death, that in Christ Jesus, all of the victory, literally, even our genetics, even our DNA, everything about us has been affected. Wherever the sin nature was embedded within our being, within the construct of the human being, body, soul, mind, spirit, will, emotions, intellect, all everything about us. Well, I believe now when in Christ, the new nature is given to us, and the new nature is the very living presence of Christ, but that living presence is a embedded nature. 2 Peter again, chapter 1, his divine power has given, in the perfect tense of the Greek meaning, a permanent embedding into our very nature that becomes really normal. Whereas the flesh and demonic presence and all that is abnormal to who we are as created beings to bear the image of God. We cannot bear the image of God when the sin nature is ruling, when we're dead to God, when Satan still has legal ownership and the world is still really our master. It is what Jesus came and did and then completed on the cross that brings us salvation, deliverance, healing, and an empowered life here, and also the ability to minister. How are we going to win souls if we don't understand the battle? If we don't understand that Satan comes to steal the Word of God away from those who are just hearing it, to pull the Word of God from them so they cannot believe and be saved. Now, that's found in the parable of the sower, where some of the Word of God falls, on rocky, ground or soil and so forth, that's hard, and the birds of the air, Satan comes and takes it away with one agenda, so that individuals who first hear that Word of God cannot believe and be saved, because we can't. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know what? You and I and every single person on this planet, we cannot be saved without hearing the Word of God. That's why we need to preach the gospel, the Word of God, to all the ends of the earth, to every human being. It's the power of the gospel. It's the power is inherent in the gospel, and Satan knows this. It's the Word of God that'll cut through the sin nature, the old fallen nature. It's the Word of God that is contrary to the fallen world system. So let me just encourage you to really pray about taking this course and getting the foundations that deal with the three major fronts that we have to not only realize our conflict with, but to learn our powerful victory in Jesus over the world, the flesh, the devil. I'm going to go to the contents page and just give you a few notes on that. It's on the page you're probably looking at also. It begins with the war on God, the rebellion. It begins in Ezekiel 28. And so it's very important to see that the rebellion is not just that Satan or Lucifer or the anointed cherub, literally, the wonderful, anointed, perfect, created being that was there. It wasn't that he just slipped up, messed up. Literally, the Hebrew phrase, until wickedness was found, it was a known, violent, volitional, willful, an attack on God. It was a rebellion, man. It was everything to do with a reasoned out, thought through, planned, based maybe on pride, But that's where the origin of sin begins. It doesn't begin anywhere else. The origin of sin, the concept of sin, what sin is, the nature of sin, the presence of sin, it all begins there in Ezekiel 28 in the biblical revelation of the anointed cherub literally turning inside out, desecrating his sanctuaries, disintegrating as a being. His genetics were changed. And it was an act of rebellion. Well, we're going to take a look at that in the first session. Session 2 will deal with the war on man, where the temptation came, and where God set up the perimeters, where as a human race we could have chosen to lock Satan out forever, to lock the tempter out forever. So what God did in giving his word and putting the tree there, the tree of knowledge, literally God gave his word, the word of God, which Eve quoted, which we have in Genesis 3, that was to preserve us and protect us. And we need to learn something about having the word of God in us now that will preserve and protect. We need to understand how Jesus came and stood on the word of God in his own stance against the onslaught of the tempter who tried to offer him everything. So realize that Satan in his rebellion, he is forever changed. His genetics are completely black and darkened and corrupted. There is no truth in him. There's nothing left in him but to do what he does. And it's very important for us to understand that. Understand his nature. Understand what occurred when we, the human race, sinned and acquired that nature that affected our DNA, our genetics, and everything about us. And why we see man slaughtering man, whether in words or physically, and the battle, the separation, the division, and so forth in the human race, and the misery that goes along with it. Well, we'll take a look at that. In the third session, the one-hour session in the teaching, is the fall of the human race, and that's where we'll get into the specifics, a definition of the sin nature, the idea of it changing our DNA or our genetics and changing the construct. Our will, our mind, everything about us is infected with a nature that has one drive: rebel against God, be hostile to God, don't submit to God. And because of that nature, we can't submit to God. We can't turn to God on our own. Something needs to break through. And so the fall of the human race involves the permanent infusion of an abnormal nature within us. And Jesus came to deal with that, to forgive sin. Yes, that occurred in the Old Testament, but to change our nature from within is the great victory Jesus won at the cross. Session 4 will deal with the fallen world system as a whole and how that principle of the sin nature and the satanic rebellion is infused in politics, in educational systems, in the world of entertainment, and just across the board, so that we understand the difference between creation and a fallen world system and what we're not to love and be a part of. James tells us in chapter 4 that anybody who chooses to become a friend of the world, to love affectionately the fallen world system, can become an enemy of God. And there's a warning even to believers about that. Well, in session 5, we're going to deal with the work of Satan, the sin nature, and the world on the unsaved. How the operating presence, the satanic presence, the sin nature, all of that works on the unsaved. Then we're going to touch in session 6 on the work of Satan, sin nature, and the world on the saved. We're going to look at the dynamic of victory that's given in Christ and our relationship now with the infusion of a new nature, with a new authority, with our eyes being opened, with the incredible work of God in our lives. We're going to find that Jesus won for us on the cross. This will carry over to session 7, the victory. Victory is from the Greek word Nike in the scriptures. It deals with a decisive and total victory that we win. Jesus completely and totally won at the cross. He didn't win for himself because he didn't sin. He wasn't under the power of the world system. He wasn't under the authority of Satan. as a sinless, free being, the second Adam, he went to the cross in our place. And he won for us victory that he has. Victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. So we're going to take a look at the foundation of the cross and of victory for believers. And this is the part where I want to emphasize that we need to understand the foundational victory planted into us over the world system, fallen system, the flesh nature, which has been rendered powerless but still tries to tempt, and of Satan himself. So it's very important to note so that we can grow as a believer. We're intended to. It's God's design to grow deeper, broader, wider in our knowledge and our experience, become more powerful, and exhibit victory. Nike, decisive and total, complete victory that involves celebration. That's what worship is all about. And worship is included in that victory over all three. Well, session 8 will deal with Jesus' victory over Satan and just go into a detailed teaching on what he did at the cross, what he did when he came, Revelation chapter 12, the very onslaught of satanic presence, knowing biblical prophecy, Satan came to destroy Jesus in the very beginning, in the middle, and the end. But in each case, Jesus defeated. God defeated Satan. That's why I like to use the term so many times. You may have heard me do this on some of the interviews. The Lamb runs circles around the dragon. And that's what Jesus does in victory. Session 9, Jesus' victory over the sin nature. He being sinless and never having that nature. Thus, we're going to look at the importance of being born of a virgin, being born where he's God and man in one without the transmission of the sin nature. Sinless in nature, sinless in act, he blasts apart the roots of and finality of sin. Well, session 10 will deal with Jesus' victory over a fallen world system. Be of good cheer. He's overcome the world. And Jesus brings to us peace. But now you and I are living in this fallen world system, and we're having to live, you know, as a believer that is going to exhibit the authority and power and beauty of God, the all that he is, and the coming kingdom of God. The coming kingdom of God, not the counterfeit of the New Age, not the alternative spiritualities that are being offered, but the real, genuine, coming kingdom of God, where lamb shall lay down with lion, where there will be 1,000 years of incredible peace, where Christ will rule and reign. We already have the beginnings of that, or the touch of that, in the act of salvation. The gift of the Spirit of God is the deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And so we're going to find victory, his victory over Satan, the sin nature, and the fallen world in sessions 8, 9, and 10. In session 11, that session is going to deal with our victory. Again, not just his, but our application. Not only the ground root that he's done it for us, but how do we have victory? And looking at what he's done in salvation, the authority we've got, the armor of God, and our battle so that Satan doesn't outwit us. Session 12, our victory over the fallen world system. How you and I as a believer don't have to be sucked in to the patterns of this world. Whether we're going off to secular universities or getting involved in politics or in government or in military or life in general as a whole, how we do not have to be sucked in to the system and fall to its fallen peer pressure. We're going to deal with session 13 again with our victory over the sin nature, what he gave us in the core work of salvation, but also the application of that victory as we live in obedience to Jesus. And as we grow stronger and stronger, listen, have you ever seen a believer or even you feel the need to grow strong in such a way that temptation no longer brings you down? Listen, sin is not a necessity for the believer. It's not inevitable that every believer is going to keep falling into sin. As a matter of fact, we read again in 1 John chapter 2, And so I encourage you, because 1 John is a backdrop to this entire study, and we'll go into it many, many different times. I hope you're going to read 1 John 10 times over and get the Word of God in you. But we're going to go over the victory that deals with the sin nature issue, and how, as we become stronger, that even all temptation is not a sin, it's an aggravation. You'll hear me say in the session. But it also makes war against our soul, and how we can come to the roots of our victory in Jesus, the application of that victory when it comes to temptation and particular sins. We'll deal with sin addictions, even a believer. We'll deal with the issue of backsliding. We'll deal with the issue of falling into certain secret sins and things like that. And again, letting Jesus begin to reign in our lives, that we are not only feeling clean, we are clean, and we are clearly, experientially free and powerful. And we can powerfully put out any kind of sin area of our lives that the Holy Spirit points out to us, that the Word of God points out to us. So the factors in session 14, the factors of victory for strong Christians. And we're going to go over a very strong message that deals with those factors when we look at people like Paul in the New Testament. And we're going to take even a look in the Old Testament of some believers, and how even before being born again and having all that we have now, how did they stay so strong? Well, we're going to take a look at that when we get to that segment. The last segment we're going to deal with is the segment on the prophecy, and that how biblical prophecy also gives us victory in all three senses. How biblical prophecy speaks about the world system, its fading away, its final destruction of the sin nature and its destruction. In the end, glorification will free us from any more temptation, any more work of the fallen world system, Satan himself. Listen, salvation includes our immediate redemption, justification before God as if we've never sinned, the implanting of a new nature, but also the power of sanctification along the way. God has intended victory, Christian. He's intended victory and strength and development, the ability to grow as a believer and to minister as a believer and to stand with all of our heart in a chosen and fixed and free commitment and stance. Biblical prophecy will be a part of our inspiration to victory, our inspiration to purity. And even again, 1 John will touch on that. So if you're interested in taking this foundational course, you'll see on the front page that you're looking at just simply how to do that. You'll see the cost, how to go to the PayPal page and order the course. And what will happen is, in a few days once you order it, you'll be sent a link with a code, and that code will open up the course for you. And each one of those sessions will be an hour. Sometimes there'll be an extra part of that. In some of these, we may even add. In many of our courses, by the way, we keep them active. If we have new content, or if I feel there's something new, I will add to that course. Some courses began with 12 hours. Most of them began with 12 hours. Then I've added 13 and 14 and 15, and some of them are up to 20. One of the courses is up to about 28 hours. And so down the road, we notify you to let you know that if new hours have been added to old courses, that you keep your code, access code, and the link, and go back and you can get some refreshment on the same area and some encouragement and some teaching. So we hope that you'll consider taking the course and take a look at all the other courses also. But this one here is very foundational for your development as a believer, for your victory as a believer, for your ability to minister and to grow and to learn that victory and see that victory developed in powerful ways as Jesus blesses your life. Well, listen, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. These are the part of the courses. This here is part of the courses of Theology for the Third Millennium. Hey, and God bless you. If you have questions, email me. I'll be glad to email back and send you some notes and responses. But we just simply encourage you. We ask the Lord to bless you and guide you and lead you. Minister to your needs right now. Touch your life that you might know. Let me just pray this, Ephesians chapter 1, that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that you might know Jesus. The Greek word is epigenosis, that you might know him experientially, deeply, to the fullest extent, that you'll find in Christ the treasures of all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and that you'll be able to love him, follow him, walk with him, and pour him out to the world around us. God bless you in your decision, and we just simply invite you to take this Basics of Spiritual Warfare foundational course, Theology for the Third Millennium.